Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. I love words. I do. I love words. I love the effect of words. Do you remember, for those of you who've been here with us for a while, do you remember my favorite word in all the English language? Anyone? Anyone?
I do.
Amanda, my wife, does. Okay, it's okay if you don't. Crisp. Crisp. Do you know why it's my favorite word? Because it goes from the back of your mouth all the way to the front. So try it. Go ahead and try it. Crisp. Did you feel it? Isn't that great? It's a fun word. It's a fun word. But I also love words because words can have a double meaning, right? The same word can mean a couple of different things depending on how you're using it, right? It can do that. And so I also love phrases that put that together, right? And you just have to sit with it and go like, what does that mean? Right? At first, you're like, yeah, I know what that means. And then the more you sit with it, you're like, maybe I don't know what that means as much. Here's one of the phrases that I learned from my dad that I also then passed on to my sons, and that we say this every once in a while. And here's the phrase. I'll put it up here so you can read it and hear it. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. At first, you're like, oh, yeah, I think I get the picture. Well, do you? Like, is he saying he sees? Like, he's no longer blind? Is that what he's saying? And then he's going to go off and he's going to pick up a hammer and a handsaw and work on something? Or is he saying, I see as in I understand, and even though I'm still blind, I'm going to go pick up a hammer and saw and work on something because I understand, right? I see how this works, right? Or is it the moment of picking up the hammer that now he sees? I know we could spend all day on that, right? But I love these types of things because it makes you have to stop and think, and they have double meanings. And our Jesus and People message series is filled with little sayings like this from Jesus, where he says something, and it says one thing, or you think it says one thing, but it represents something else. It's like a deeper mystery, and you think you understand, and then maybe you don't understand, and how can I understand better? And there's things that get in our way of our understanding, some of our own things that we think about Jesus, right? Or the things that we have heard about Jesus from other people, and we're like, oh, when he said that, he must mean this, because I heard somebody explain it in that way. But maybe it isn't that way. Maybe we just need to understand what Jesus is saying from Jesus, right? From just face value. What Jesus, what are you saying? What are you doing? How can I make sense of that? And it's those types of things that make me really excited about today's message. One of my favorite stories in all of the Gospels is Jesus healing a man born blind. Jesus is going to heal a man born blind. Now, if you don't know what this means, if you've never heard the story at all ever before in your life, you are in a better place than people that have been in church and heard this story and explained it and been in Bible studies and all that, because there's so much stuff that we bring into it. And we're like, oh, well, it's obviously talking about spiritual sight, and it's obviously talking about this, and those people don't understand. And wait, no, there's truth into that, but now we start only seeing that and not seeing what's actually happening here. And there's something much more hopeful for you and for me, of people that go like, you know, maybe there's some humility that needs to happen to really understand who Jesus is and take his words and what he does at face value, right? So we can spend more time on what that looks like, and I just want to give you what this is about, okay? It's about taking what Jesus says at face value, understanding who Jesus is and who God is from Jesus, not from what grandma told me, not from this church that I used to attend, not from some friends that told me this is Jesus, not any of that, but just going and sitting with just Jesus and understanding things from Jesus, just believing Jesus, right? Believing what he says and what he does and just taking it at face value. That's what this story is about. And it gives us great hope of something that can happen inside of us that's going to be completely amazing, okay? You ready? John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Go ahead and turn that on if you have a phone and you use your Bible that way. Open one up if you want to. You can follow along, of course, on here. And again, I'm going to say this one more time. If you've never been familiar with this story, you are sitting in a really good place, right? You can just see it happen and let it unfold, okay? All right, we're going to get started. John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. It's one of my favorite stories. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? Why was this man born blind? His sins, his parents' sins? This is really a deep question, actually. When you think about their mindset, they have a whole preloaded understanding of why someone would have some kind of physical ailment. It could be because of sin. Some way that they were not doing something according to the way God is wanting them to live, his will or something like that. That's sinful, and it caused this ailment. But here's the troubling thing. This guy was born this way. So how did that happen? All right? Was it his parents that did this and got passed on to him? Was it something in the womb that he did that is going to cause him to be blind? Is it his own sin? Right? This is a legit question. Now, it may feel like, well, that's kind of silly. I mean, sin doesn't cause ailments. And I just want to remind you that we have some things that are non-physical that cause physical problems. It's just in our own way of thinking about things. Think about anxiety. Anybody with anxiety knows that you can have an outside thing, non-physical thing, cause your heart to race and cause your chest to get tight, right? A non-physical thing has a cause on a physical thing. So, like, we're not too far from going, like, this sin thing could cause some physical ailments. Now, this message isn't about that. It's about something more, right? They want to know what's going on here. Whose sin is it? And they have this whole preloaded understanding of how their world works that's causing them not to see something. So Jesus is going to answer that question for them. Verse 3. It is not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Now, what Jesus is not saying, this is a bit of an unfortunate translation here, what he's not saying is that God caused this man to be born blind so that I can go and heal his eyes and it'll be fine, right? It's not what it's saying. What he's saying is like, we have an opportunity to see the power of God at work in this man who was born blind, and I'm going to show you what that's like. So can we just focus in on Jesus, what he said, right? Let go of the preconceived ideas that we had about Jesus or our world, right? It's not about the parent's sin. It's not about this guy's sin. Nope. This is an opportunity to see the power of God in this guy. We're going to see it happen. Now, the question is the power of God seeing this man that Jesus is going to do something that's never been done ever in the history of the world, which is open somebody's eyes that have been born blind? Maybe. Or is there something else that we can see that's going on here? Something else that actually would probably be more applicable to you and me today. That's what I'm hoping for, right? Okay, verse 4 and following. Excuse me. We must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he, Jesus, spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Okay, first of all, ew. I mean, it's kind of gross. Let's just stop and think about it. But there's actually a deeper connection with that than we have time to go into. It's a fun rabbit hole. Show up Wednesday night. We'll dive in. It'll be fun, okay? But what did we see going on here? Jesus even uses some words that have double meaning, like he's the light of the world. Like, what, your LED? No, he's something more, right? We know that there's something else going on there. And there's work that needs to be done. So he's going to do this work. And he is sent from someone, right? We've got to do the work from the one who sent us, right? Well, where's Jesus sent from? And then he goes and sends this guy over to wash in a pool called Scent. He sends him to Scent. I don't know. It's weird, okay? Right? And the guy comes back and he sees. This little story is all this guy has to go on. Right? That's all he has, is this thing that happened to him. This man named Jesus did something to me, and here's the story. But let's see. Let's see his focus on just believing Jesus for the power of God to be seen in him, how that works out in his life. And it's more than just now being able to do something like seeing physically that he's never been able to do before. Now it's something else going on inside that he'd never been able to do before. Okay? You ready? This is fun. This is going to get really, really fun. It's like a little drama. It's like a little soap opera that's going to happen here. It's kind of fun. Verse 8. His neighbors and others who knew him as the blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said it wasn't. It was. And others said, "No, it just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yeah, I'm the same one." They asked, "Well, who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they call Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, and told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and I washed, and now I can see." "Well, where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know." He doesn't know. He doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know where Jesus went to. He couldn't recognize that Jesus was standing right in front of him. He's never seen him. He's just got new working eyes. He's probably just adjusting to the light and colors and everything, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know where he is. But all I know is that he made some mud. He put it on my eyes. He told me to go wash in this pool, and now I can see. That's all I know. I'm just taking it at face value. And notice, he says, how does he describe Jesus? What does he describe Jesus? The man they call Jesus. The man they call Jesus. He doesn't say Jesus the Messiah. He doesn't say the risen Lord. He doesn't say any of that stuff. He just says the man they call Jesus. That's all he has to go on. He knows very little about this, doesn't he? Okay, let's see what happens, because it's going to get meaty here in just a second. Verse 13, then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, this is the ruling people of the religious society, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. He's gotten in trouble for healing people before, right? On the Sabbath, the day you're not supposed to do any work. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, so he told them, "He put mud over my eyes, and then I washed it away, and I could see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man, Jesus, is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath." Others said, "But how could he do ordinary? Could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What's your opinion about this man? Who healed you?" The man replied, "I think he must be a prophet." I think he must be a prophet. Preconceived ideas about doing good things on the Sabbath, right? We talked about this last week. If you haven't watched that one, go back and watch that one. But we talked about it last week. Like, you get in trouble if you heal somebody on the Sabbath. You weren't supposed to do that. It's work. Right? You're not supposed to carry something on the Sabbath. That's work. You can't make mud on the Sabbath. That's work, right? That's the idea here. And Jesus is doing that. So certainly, because we understand that if you want to keep the Sabbath, you're really following God, and you're not going to sin, then you're going to keep the Sabbath. Those are their rules. That God didn't say it that way, right? Those are their rules. And so this person, if he's supposed to be a healer or a prophet or something like that, he should be doing things the way we would expect him to do them. They're not just looking at Jesus at face value, right? They're not trying to learn what, like, maybe we should understand the Sabbath in a different way than what we should do that. They're not doing that. And they're butting heads with Jesus, aren't they? But who does this man now kind of say Jesus is? Prophet. And where do prophets come from, right? God calls them and then gives them a message and sends them out to give a message to people and all of that, right? They come from God. They're sent from God, right? He's starting to put things together, isn't he? Like, okay, it's a man named Jesus, but, oh, man, now that I sit here and spend some time with this and I'm really seeing kind of what's going on here, and you guys are divided about it, and I don't know if that really lines up, but I don't know. He just must be a prophet. He must be from God, I guess. Want to hear what the Pharisees have to say about that? I don't know, but I do. I love this story. It's great. Verse 18, here we are. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see. Like, you're pulling a trick on us, right? Don't pull the wool over our eyes. We got you figured out, right? They refused to believe that the man had been born blind and could now see. So they called in his parents. I don't know. I don't know why that's funny to me. Like, I don't know. I'm going to get your parents in here. They're going to clear this up for us. All right, verse 19, they asked him, is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see? His parents replied, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him, he's old enough to speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, he is old enough, ask him. So, for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this, because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. How do they view Jesus? Sent from God? A healer? A miracle worker? Is he a prophet? Is he the Messiah? No, you can't even call Jesus the Messiah here at this point. We'll kick you out of the church. We'll kick you out of our community. You don't get to be a part of this, right? If you say that he is the Messiah. This guy hasn't said that he's the Messiah, but they're starting to see that Jesus is a sinner. He's not from God. He's not doing God's will, is he? That's how they're seeing him. These educated, well-versed Bible readers, churchgoers, that figure they got it all figured out, right? They understand everything. Jesus must be not from God. He's a sinner. Let's see what happens. Verse 25. I love this guy's response. I don't know whether he is a sinner, right? The man replied, but I know this. What does he know? The one thing that he knows about Jesus. I was blind, and now I can see. That seems pretty simple. But what did he do? They asked. How did he heal you? Look, the man exclaimed. I told you once, didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man came from. This is how I picture it. Why, that's very strange. I mean, this guy's got some swagger now. I don't know how, like, right? Like, he's like, I'm going to start teaching you a little thing or two, right? Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he came from? Like, you're the educated people, right? You don't read all of this stuff. You should know where he comes from, but you don't. You don't even know where he came from. Sorry, lost my spot. That's very strange. There we are. I don't know. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. You were born a total sinner, they answered. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. Probably the best thing that ever happened to him. But listen, settle, okay? What's happening here? He has now got some understanding he didn't have before. All because he just started looking at Jesus from face value. I'm just going to believe Jesus. What he says about this stuff, what he is teaching, what he's doing, I'm just going to start there. I don't know how everything connects. All I know is I was blind, and now I see. I'm going to start right there. And on that journey, he's come to get a deeper understanding of who Jesus is and how God is actually working in this world, to where he can come to a place and start teaching the teachers about God and about this one sent from God, something that they can't see and they can't understand, and they can't handle it. They go right back to where this all started. What do they call him? The man born blind. What do they call him? What did he say? He was born a total, right back to the disciples' question. Why is this guy blind? Was it his parents' sin? Was it his sin? The Pharisees are convinced that it was some kind of sin in his life that caused him to be born this way, and he's born a total sinner right from the beginning. Right? That's who you are. You can't teach us anything. The power of God that is seen in this man is not just that he was born blind, and now he can see. Never happened in the history of the world. You read the Bible from beginning all the way through this. Nobody has been born blind and then received sight, right? He gains something he never possessed before. And in another way, right, a turn of phrase, a different word, seeing, understanding. He understands something that he could have never understood before because he just spends that time believing Jesus, right, taking him at face value. And the power of God that's seen in him is he grows as an understanding of who Jesus is and who God is to a point where he can now teach and help other people see and understand. That is the power of God that's seen in this man born blind. Isn't that amazing? I think that gives us, me and you, a great hope. Right? I don't need to know every single story in this whole thing, right? I don't need to know how all the different words of Hebrew and Greek connect. I don't need to do any of that. I can just sit down and start reading this and go, okay, I'm just going to take Jesus at face value. I'm just going to read that. I'm just going to sit with this and I'm going to process this. Now, this happens in a matter of hours, right? We get this. It happens pretty quickly. But in a life spent with taking Jesus at face value, just believing Jesus, it's going to take time as you sit with it and you try to process it and you try to understand it and you try to shut off all those other things about who you think God is or God should be or how God should act in this world or Jesus should do this or say it this way. And you're just like, okay, let's just understand it from this perspective. What does that mean for everything else? Instead of trying to force it on him, right? If this story was just about the power of God seen in him for this man to receive sight, it would have ended a long time ago. But it wasn't about that. Seeing is more about understanding. He gains that in a whole new way. Now, the story also isn't over here. There's an interaction. Jesus is going to come back and interact with him again. And here's what that looks like. I have to find my place again. Sorry. Which one? Thank you. 35. When Jesus heard what happened, he found the man and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Jesus is coming in the world. Just go like, you think you got it figured out. I'm going to show you that you don't. Okay? And for those that are like, yeah, I don't really know how this all works, I'm like, I'm going to give you sight. I'm going to help you to understand. I'm going to help you to see. Can you believe Jesus? Can you believe Jesus? Because if you believe Jesus, there's this power of God that's going to be seen in your life. I love the fact that Jesus says, you have seen him, right? You have seen him, right? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, who is he? You have seen him. You've seen him long before you actually see him, right? You get it? Like, you understand who the Son of Man is long before you physically saw him who is standing right in front of you. This is the first time this guy actually sees Jesus. First time. But he's already seen him, hasn't he? He's understood who this Jesus, this Son of Man, this all of that stuff is. And I'll be honest with you, right now, as we're talking about this, you're probably going like, Son of Man, I don't know what that means, Messiah, whatever, right? Prophets, don't know what that is. That's okay. That's the good news. You can just read this and take it at face value. You just believe Jesus. And the reason you're believing Jesus, you're going from him as the source, it's for this power of God to be seen in your life. That you get to learn about who God is and who Jesus is and how he's active in this world in a way that you may have never experienced before. It's like you've lived your whole life blind, and now you finally get to see. It's like you lived your whole life not really understanding. Now I'm getting to understand. That's the life that Jesus is able to give us. He helps us to understand. When to believe for Jesus, for God to work in this life. Now, the story doesn't end there. There's one last little interaction where Jesus is going to talk to the Pharisees because they overhear what Jesus said about, like, I'm going to give sight to the blind and those that think they can see. Here's what he says, verse 40. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying we're blind? Let's see how Jesus answers that, okay? He says this, if you were blind, so you're not saying they're blind? Hold on. If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see. So I claim I can see, which really means that I'm blind. So you are saying I'm blind? But you just said if I were, Yeah, you get it, right? You feel me, right? Yeah, the point is that they have no humility to go like, you know what? We have a bunch of understanding that maybe we can put on the back burner and go like, all right, Jesus, we're just going to believe you, and we're going to see how that affects everything else. Maybe we need to re-see how the Sabbath day is supposed to work. Maybe we need to re-see how we should be thinking about people that have some kind of ailment. It could be a sin. Let's be honest. It could be that. It does have that effect. They continue to talk about that. Pray for them, and they'll be healed. Have them confess their sins, and they'll be healed. We're like, wow, that's crazy that it would have that effect. But it could also not be, right? It could be something completely different. It maybe have nothing to do with that. Maybe you can see things differently. Maybe the way that you interact with people, the way you treat people. Oh, yeah, Jesus says we should love each other, so I'm just going to love people by just like accepting everything that they do is okay and just never talking about anything bad or wrong or anything like that. Is that what Jesus is saying? Maybe just look at what Jesus says and what he does and let that inform us. Let's just believe Jesus. Right? Start there. Because when you do that, when you believe Jesus, you get to see this power of God at work in your life. You get to experience things you never thought you could experience. Understand things in a way that you couldn't have done it on your own. That's exciting for me. I don't know, like, you don't have to know anything. In fact, coming to this with humility actually helps you to better understand, to help you better understand. So my invitation, perhaps it's a challenge, is that I'd love for you to go and read this Gospel of John. Read it, and just read it at face value. You're not going to understand everything. You're going to come across phrases, you're like, what is he saying? But just go, what is Jesus trying to say here? What can I understand from Jesus' perspective? I just believe Jesus. And I'm specifically saying believe Jesus, not believe in Jesus. This guy had this experience before he believed in Jesus. Yeah? That's where it gives us hope. So just start with, let's believe Jesus and allow that to shape us and to form us and to give us understanding about who he is and who God is and how we're to live this life. Can we do that? I encourage you to do that. Take some time to sit with it and read it and go through it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, it is amazing that you want to help us to understand who you are, that you have sent Jesus, your very Son, to help us to understand. We ask that you would bring us in to your understanding of how this world is created and how you desire it to work, how you made us, and how we are to relate to one another. We ask that you would show us through Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, the words that he says, the deeds that he does, the challenges that he gives to us in the way that we should live. God, we want to believe Jesus for your power to be seen in our lives.